Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Colin Karcher Podcast live in car. That's right, bringing it the first time ever, podcast in the car on the road. I cannot believe after, 5 years of COVID, I'm finally back on the road. Going out to Idaho, heading to McCall, Idaho. Flew out this morning from Salt Lake, landed in Boise, thinking McCall's probably just around the corner. Plug it into my Waze app. Boom. 2 hours, 45 minutes. So really happy about finally getting back out there. Geez, can we get a vaccine as fast as possible so we can stop this madness? I'm recording live in my car. I got a Honda Accord. I asked them for the fastest car they had. They're like, we got an Accord. I'm like, solid. And have been driving for a while now. Thanks so much for tuning and joining. Today is National Podcast Day, is at least what the news said. So you're welcome for this podcast. I'm totally kidding. Tonight I'm speaking at a Elk Creek Baptist Church Celebration Center, something like that, doing a family and parent night for fifth grade on up kids. So parents, that's usually what I do when I do a parent with family night. I say, hey, you know what? Fifth graders on up should probably be just fine for this. But so many speeches I did last couple years, people would bring their babies, like 1, 2, 3, 5-year-olds. And I'm like, yeah, there might be a couple spots you might want to like close their eyes for them. But anyway, super stoked to come out here and do this. I don't even know what day it is. I get tired sometimes of talking about the same stuff. Like, legit just wanted to get on here and just gab. I got no one with me. It's just me and a gallon of water and some gum and the lone road. But I've been driving for like 2 hours, and it's been beautiful so far. Everything's pretty much dead, but now I'm getting up in the mountains. It's very pretty. Last night was the debates. Gosh! Couple of grandpas screaming at each other for 90 minutes. Oh, felt like Thanksgiving dinner. I don't ever usually get political. I used to, but man, I sat down with my family, had my kids there. We're like, we're going to watch this. We're going to talk about it. And then 4 minutes into it, not even that, 40 seconds into it, I was like, please break to commercial before I die. I don't know what that was, but even my kids were like, Dad, is this normal? I'm like, no, this is not normal. But that's all I'm going to say about that. I can't wait for the next one, though. It's like a town hall meet. That'll be fun to actually have them have questions from non-Chris Wallace and from, real people. But so excited to go out and speak out here in McCall, Idaho. I think this event was rescheduled twice. I don't know if you guys know this for those who are new, but pre-COVID, I was on the road speaking in communities. I think I was averaging anywhere from like 50 to 80 speeches a month. February or January, I forgot which one it was. I think it was January, right before COVID. I think I hit 88 speeches. I was averaging like 2.3 or something speeches or assemblies or parent nights or whatever per day, 7 days a week, even though I didn't work on the weekends. Go into a city, talk at five schools, talk at five schools, and then a parent night for an hour and a half, and then drive home or fly out, go back home, or maybe drive to the next city. It was crazy. Now with COVID, like, I finally sat down, took a breath, and I was like, I don't know how on earth I kept that up for a year and a half, but it's pretty amazing how it all works. Just a couple moms, maybe one, maybe 10, message me and say, how do we get you to come to our little community or city or come to my kid's school? And then I just set them up with my amazing, amazing assistant, Michelle Rigby, down in Arizona. Shout out to Michelle, who then just gets it all going, helps set up dates, times, things like that, find sponsors if needed. And it's been amazing. And it's so much fun. I kick myself every day thinking, why on earth did I not just have one guy with a camera come around to these schools and communities and film? It would be really cool. Not saying that what I'm doing is worthy of being filmed, but gosh, there's been some pretty cool moments and some pretty amazing people. But anyway, it's so good to be back on the road and, gosh, not talking through Zoom. Last night I spoke to, and I have an NDA, so I can't say who, and I might have jumped the gun on an Instagram post or a story a couple weeks ago, but I got to speak to one of the most elite groups of people in America. I think that's maybe all I can say. They do amazing, amazing stuff to protect our country. I'll just leave it at that. Got to speak to their families, and that was so fun. One of my favorite parts is how the power tripped twice. That's right, two times. Router shut down, lights went off, literally in the middle of a speech. It's never happened before. But thankfully, they were super cool. Just text the lady who put it on and say, hey, this power turned back on. Stall. And they did a good job. Anyways, let's chat. Let's talk about stuff. I wanted to chat and just share a little bit about being emotionally present with your kids. Something that I've been really... Oh, there goes all my stuff. I'm going up a windy hill. This is beautiful. This looks like mini Lake Tahoe. I get a lot of parents that message me and they say, hey, how do you do with your kids? You know, how do you be emotionally present with them? What is it like? What kind of dad are you and how do you do things? And, you know, I don't really share. I used to a lot. I don't really share a whole lot of personal things anymore. Too busy sharing the information that I find. But I wanted to get a little real with you guys because why not? Most of these podcasts I do, I'm interviewing someone else. And since I'm on the road here, literally in my car right now, I figure, what the heck? Let's like open up a little bit, right? A lot of people have been following me for a long time. I love my original people, my OGs. Thank you. A lot of new people following. So as you know, I have four kids and three girls and a boy. My oldest is 14. She just started ninth grade and then seventh grade. I got two girls in middle school here. They do middle school here, seventh, eighth, ninth grade at this kid's school. I don't know why ninth graders are at a middle school. These ninth graders need to be humbled. They need to be the freshmen. They need to be at a high school with a bunch of giant seniors with full beards that are way bigger than them. I tell you, a ninth grader at a middle school where they are the biggest dogs on campus, it doesn't make any sense. These kids, man, it's like my daughter's awesome, but some of these kids there, they got to get humbled. But anyway, so I got those two at the same middle school, and then I've got a fourth grader, and then I've got a second grader, and I'm going to be honest, like, people say, what do you like as a dad, and how do you do things at your house? I'm going to open up and be pretty honest with you guys here. I am obsessed with my kids, and I don't mean, like, I've got them in 17 different things, and, like, one of them's, like, one of these pageant kids and like I'm fighting for them to get sponsored, like not that kind of whack crazy, you know, I never emotionally graduated high school parent. Now I'm learning or living through my kids. Not that. I mean, I am obsessed with my kids, meaning that they're my best friends. I don't really do a whole lot besides hang out with them. You know, the other day, my oldest daughter said, Dad, if you could go to dinner with anyone living on this planet right now, who would it be? And I was like thinking for a second, I was like, I don't really care. Like, I just really care. You guys and Liz, my wife. I am obsessed with my kids. It is what I do. And I think parents, especially dads today, you got to get more obsessed with your kids in a good, healthy way. I don't really do anything else. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I should be doing more stuff. My wife all the time is like, babe, you need outlets besides whatever it is you do. Like, you need outlets. You got to go do stuff. Like, go work out or go, like, have a boys trip. And I'm like, what the heck is a boys trip? What is, like, go to Vegas with a bunch of bros and, like, go drive fast cars on a track for, like, $600? Like, I don't understand. I was on a couple softball teams. My brother-in-law was just super fun, and that was a few years ago and stuff. But, you know, I golf like once a year, and it's usually on my wife's birthday because she likes doing that. But I don't do anything other than literally I work and then I hang out with the family because I'm obsessed with them, and I love being there. And I did the math a while ago and realized, like, we don't have a whole lot of Saturdays. We have a whole lot of days with these kids. It is a blink and they're gone and then it's it and then we're bored and then it's like, what do we do with the rest of our lives while we're waiting for grandbabies, right? So I want parents, you know, one of my secrets is you got to be obsessed with your kids. I see these guys, no offense, but like on a Saturday at like 1 p.m. on a speed bike, road bike, whatever, like going up somewhere up some canyon. Like they've been on a bike. They had been out there for at least like 4 hours. And I'm just like, how bad do you have to hate your family to go? I'm just kidding. It's like that old Seinfeld bit, right? When you see these guys that are out there like ice fishing in the middle of winter, 20 inches of ice sitting in a little, whatever that is, some kind of teepee thing, a tent, sitting there with a heater. Like, how bad do you have to hate spending time with your wife and kids if that's what you're doing? But I love, my gosh, my kids. I don't care about doing anything else. I don't care. I don't have any hobbies. I don't really like, I'm not obsessed with anything else. Like, I used to work out. Now I don't really care. I just try and eat better. I just want to spend time with my family. We are getting so in. We have become massive. At the beginning of the season, when baseball came back, I looked at my son. I was like, hey, like, let's pick a team, dude. Like, let's pick a team and let's become obsessed. And luckily, we picked the Dodgers, which are the best team in the major leagues right now. And they're probably going to win the World Series. But we have, like I said, we don't do screens, iPads, video games, stuff like that. But we got a TV downstairs. And we got Disney Plus. We love Disney night, movie nights. And then I got MLB.com because we as a family watch every Dodger game. If not every Dodger game, that's a lot, at least not blacked out. And it's been so fun. Get a team. This is my wife's idea. She's one of her best friends, Mary. Their family is like super obsessed with the Cowboys. I'm not a big, huge football fan. If it's on, maybe. And she's like, babe, we got to do this. They watch every game. They wear jerseys. They freak out and cry together if they lose. They've gone to games together. And I'm like, all right, we're going to do it. My son picked the Dodgers. Turned out that they were like the best team right now. They're the best team right now. I think they got the best record in the pros. So that has been so fun. So, that, you know, what am I doing? I'm not out riding bikes with friends or golfing with buddies or going on like guy trips. Like, I could care less. I'd rather be home hanging with my kids. So we spend a lot of time together. We're in the backyard playing catch. Before school, what are the kids doing? Usually they're outside in the backyard. We're playing like steal the flag or something, or playing soccer. And I know a lot of people are like, there's no way. And I'm like, just come over to my house and you can see like what we're doing. Oh my gosh, I just pulled up. There's the lake right there. That's beautiful. McCall. This is a, wow. It looks like big, little Tahoe. This place is beautiful. It's like a quaint little town. Don't you love that word, quaint? What a quaint town. People on their bikes riding, little mountain bike going on here. A lot of bungalows here on the side. Another word I love, bungalow. Oh, man. I'm going to be here today. I'm doing one parent family night, 2 hours tonight from 7 to 9. And then tomorrow, another one from 6 to 8. Usually I'm doing school assemblies during the day, but I think the school's here on lockdown or some kind of hybrid schedule, so that'd be kind of hard. So they invited the whole community to come here. This will be super fun. Anyway, so dads, go parents, get obsessed with your kids. My wife she's doing her master's program on Monday night. She's got class from 6 to 10, all online. And so, she's like, get the kids out of the house, go do something with them. So Monday night, just barely took the kids. We went bowling. It's a thing we love doing. My wife and I have our own balls. Again, that was something we just started doing last year. Took my daughter, Avery, her friend. We took a friend with us. Had pizza. It was so fun. And then afterwards, since I'm not doing pizza, I'm on my back to – I'll talk about that later, but getting back on the health schedule, right? Got to get back into speaking shape. My gosh, this schedule is rough. Airplane speaking, like you got to be mentally there. And during COVID, I think I ate all of my stress for about 5 months, put on the COVID 25. So I'm back on my regimen of like, you know, eating healthy, drinking a gallon or two of water a day, stuff like that. But we went out there afterwards. So I do it at night. I do a chicken salad and usually I make one myself, but you know, I have time. There's a Wendy's. Wendy's has a great Caesar chicken salad kind of thing. And we're in line. I'm looking in the car behind me through my rearview mirror. And we got a dad and we got a son, maybe 10, baseball hat smudged under black eye. Under what is it called? Under black eye? Whatever. And obviously, just picked him up, maybe went to a game or a practice. And I'm looking out the rearview mirror, and I'm just kind of like peeking over there. Well, we're having a blast in my car. The kids are laughing. They're singing Broadway songs, whatever. And the car behind me, I see, like you see everywhere. Dad's staring at his phone, kids staring out the window, not paying attention, alone together. And I just wanted to honk. I wanted to be like, hey, why don't you guys chit-chat? Why don't you guys talk a little bit? Hey, ask him about life. It just breaks my heart more than anything. On the old Instagram, I used to take pictures when I'd see that and then post it, you know, block out faces, sometimes not. And I stopped doing that because I realized that that probably wasn't the best example. But geez, parents, dads, we got to get more obsessed with the kiddos. You know, does the bike trip matter? Does the golf trip matter? Like, yeah, you need to have some kind of outlets and stuff. That's great. But get more obsessed with these kids. They need it, man. 940, that's it. You go 940 Saturdays. And then the kids are gone. That's 0 to 18, 940 Saturdays. That's not a lot of time. This little city of McCall, I'll tell you what, this city is so cute. So what do we do at my house? I'm going to go through kind of how what I do as far as being emotionally there for my kids. I forgot the quote. I don't know if it was a Meg Meeker quote or whoever it was. I think it was from Protect Young Minds. I think it was Kristen Jensen said this from Protect Young Minds. And she said that emotional availability, being there emotionally for your kids, being emotionally available for your kids is the nutrient of how your kids, what they need to develop. Something like that. The nutrient for your kids to emotionally develop is your ability as a parent to be emotionally available and present. And not just, hey, how was your day, kid? Good. Check. Parenting done. We're not talking about surface level stuff. We're talking about really engaging, sitting with, talking, and asking questions and listening and being genuine, being emotionally available. One thing that was I used to do wrong that I talked about in my TED Talk is when my kids were around, I didn't really notice how much I was on my phone in front of them. I didn't notice or I didn't care to notice. And if you go watch my TED, I tell the story of how my second daughter, Quincy, was really, this was fifth grade, she was really, really struggling at home. She was the most defiant. And she was the craziest kid at home, constantly getting in trouble, constantly. She just seemed mad all the time. She'd come home and she's just mad. As soon as we picked her up from school, got in the car, bugging people, mad, upset, teasing, whatever. And it wasn't until one day after she was freaking out and I got upset and put her in the, you know, sent her to her room and went in there and just let it out. I was like, what is going on with you? Why are you so mad? Why are you always mad at home? You seem like you're always mad. What are we doing something wrong? You're so good at school. Why are you so mad at home? And then she looked at me and she said, why do you love your phone more than you love me? Go watch the TED. Watch the whole story. And that's when I decided I need to do a better job as a parent to be emotionally present. So tip one, get off your phone in front of your kids. I'm serious. Get off your phone in front of your kids. Unless it's like, you know, you got to do it. You have to talk to this person. You have to respond to a text. But all of this, like, just mindless scrolling, right? This just like sitting like an old person plugged into a slot machine, just sitting there, da-ding, 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 going through whatever app, reading the news, getting upset about whoever posted what on Facebook. Don't do it in front of your kids. Put down the phone. They don't know that you're on there wasting time or working. They could care less. To them, it's all the same. It's showing them that the phone means more to you than they do. And that's where kids are struggling, not having parents really be there, being present while you're with them. So set a goal there to be more present with your kids. Now, I'm going to just share one thing real quick, which is our nighttime routine. What do we do at night when we're putting the kids to bed? This is something that we've been doing for a while now. And I'll tell you what, at first I was like, gosh, this takes so much time. But after a day of that, I was like, I'm never going to miss this unless I'm actually not in the same state or on the road. Bedtimes. What does your bedtime routine look like for your kids? Is it, hey, go take a bath? Hey, we'll see you later. Is it bedtime prayers together? Is it, hey, I'm just, you know, leave me alone, go downstairs, and maybe we'll see you tomorrow because dad's watching Netflix? I think the nighttime ritual is so important for showing your kids how much you care about them. And so I'm going to tell you what I do and my wife and what we do bedtime. So every single kid, there's a different routine. We get together as a family. We, you know, cause, we do family prayers at night, most nights if we can remember to, or it's not too, you know, not too tired. We do family prayers together, and then I go, and my wife does too. I go into every single one of my kids' room, and we have our own little rituals. So let's first have my oldest daughter, Avery, who's a ninth grader. Sit in the bed and just talk. Usually she's the last one to go to bed. So she sits on the bed with my wife and she's gabbing while I'm going to the other bedrooms. And we just hang out and talk. And it is so much fun. She does not want to leave the room. I don't know what it is with teenage kids, especially girls. But when it's bedtime and everyone else is asleep, it's like everything comes out. You sit there and ask about their day, ask about class, life, friends, whatever they're into, and just shut up and listen. And I'll tell you what, like most nights we have to say, Avery, okay, it's time. You got to go to bed, kiddo. It's getting a little late now. But spending real quality time when there's no one else around. You got a big family with a lot of kids. They need it, even if it's just a few minutes. You don't need to spend an hour, you know, even a half hour of just dedicated to just them, you know, before bed. Even if just a few, 10, just give 10, 12 minutes. Undivided attention where they can, you know, really open up. Some of the most amazing conversations we've had have with my oldest, who's 14. That's a rough age, man. 14, teenage girl, ninth grade. That's a hard age. And some of the most awesome, amazing moments of connection have been sitting there, 9:45, the other kids are asleep, sitting on the bed with me and my wife, and we're just sitting there talking. So usually that's what's happening there. Now, my second daughter, who's in seventh grade, I think it's my favorite ritual that we have. I will go into your room. She's in the basement in the end on the left. And I will walk in and the lights are out. She has her white noisemaker on and I will lay on the bed next to her. And then she will just immediately squeeze my left arm and just start hugging it and then start cuddling. Ask her about her day, talk to her a little bit, ask questions. If she had soccer or just hang out with friends, whatever it was, and just talk for a little bit. Now, the fun part, what we do is a few little exercises just to help get her mentally ready for bed. Big, big fan of teaching your kids really how to settle before bed. Worst thing you could do for your kid is let them play an Xbox or be on an iPad or stare at their phone right before bed. Obviously, there's so many things wrong with that. If you want to look up what blue light on these screens is doing to their brains as far as delaying melatonin release so they can't fall asleep, or basically how the games or the apps or their phone is turning their brain into this shaken snow globe, just shake, 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 and then they're trying to fall asleep right then, that's not going to work either. So some of these exercises I do with my daughter Quincy because she was the one who really, really needed these, and now we do them every single night. Lay down next to her, lights out. She's squeezing my arm. We're cuddling. We've been talking. And then I say, okay, are you ready? And she goes, okay, let's do it. I have her squeeze as hard as she can, hug, as she's got her arms wrapped around my arm, which is massive. Look at it. It's huge. Just kidding. And she will squeeze as hard as she can for 3 seconds, and then she'll relax for 3 seconds. We do that 3 times where she squeezes. And I flex my arm too, so I'm squeezing with her. She's just hugging my arm as hard as she can, squeezing the muscles and then relaxing. If you don't know a little bit about that, that's a great way to start settling the mind down and the body to relax. I actually learned that a long time ago when I was on a mission for my church. The lady, mission president's wife, who we called her mission mom, she's like, hey, one of the best things you can do is pretend that there's an octopus that's like wrapped its arms around you, squeezing your entire body for 5 seconds, and then relax. Do that 3-4 times. I don't know why it works. Look at the science, but it's amazing. So Quincy squeezes my arm, and we count to 3, and then we relax for 3. We do that 3 times. And then after the 3s, what we do next is we count to 5, and we squeeze every muscle, just clench from head to toe. Squeeze 5 seconds like an octopus is squeezing your body, and then we relax. And then we move on to the next part. That's helping settle down, getting her ready for bed. The next part we do is we do what we call 3-3-3s, which is something I learned from an amazing therapist named Joe, who's been on my podcast a couple times. 3-3-3s, or you can do 4-4-4s, 5-5-5s, however long you can hold your breath. We put our arms down onto the side, palms up, and then we breathe in, count to three, hold it for 3 seconds, and then we put our hands down and push the air down and breathe out for three, like that. Breathe in for 3 seconds, hold it for 3 seconds, and then exhale, not like, right? I'm talking like a forced exhale, like you're blowing out a candle. We will do three of those, 3-3-3s, and then after that, I sing her a song. And then I kiss her goodnight. If we've already said family prayers, great. If not, I'll say a prayer with her. And I always ask, what do you want me to pray for? How can I, what can I do? What can I pray for you? Or what am I trying to say? What is it? What's something I can pray for you? And then we switch off. And it's the best. She falls right asleep. But let me just tell you something super cute. And I do this because I wish that my dad would have done this with me. Before I leave, I kiss her goodnight, and I always say, hey, I'll see you in the morning, because I love that feeling, just kind of a feeling of confidence, like we're not going anywhere, the world's not going to end, I will see you in a few hours, I will see you in the morning, you don't need to worry, Dad's going to be there. And then I always end by saying, I love being your daddy, and then Quincy always says, I love being your daughter. And then I shut the door, and I feel like $1 million, and so does she, and she goes right to bed. So that's Avery, Quincy, and then my third one, Lola. Usually I do before Quincy because she goes to bed a little earlier. Lola loves when I go lay down by get in her bed too, lay down right next to her. We do have the 3-3-3s as well. Her big thing, though, is singing a song, and she always wants to sing it together. This was something I started doing a while ago, and it wasn't until she actually told me once. She said, Dad, if you ever forget to sing to me, it makes me feel like I'm not that important. Boom. Heart crush. I was like, I'll never do that ever again. I will never forget that ever again. And so go into your bedroom. She's got, we do fans or white noise makers. I don't know how, how do people sleep without fans? How do people sleep without a white noise maker? How do you do it? How is your brain so quiet that you can sleep without a fan? I have to sleep, especially when I'm on the road, with basically two air dryers, like hair blow dryers, like duct tape to each side of my head on full blast, or I can't fall asleep. Sit there, sing a song. What are the songs you sing, Colin? Well, it depends. Sometimes they're kind of church songs or like lullaby stuff. A lot of times we sing Beatles songs. Yesterday or Hey Jude, my kids, we listen to Frank Sinatra and the Beatles on Alexa during the day. And the kids love it. My kids know pretty much every Frank Sinatra song, and maybe a few words of like current pop songs. Which, you know, if you had a dad like that growing up, or a parent who was like only making you listen to like classic rock, and then you listen to like what the stuff is out there today, it's kind of garbage, right? So we sing a Beatles song or some kind of lullaby or some kind of church primary song. And then the same thing, Lola loves it when I say, I love being your daddy. And then she goes, I love being your daughter. And then as I walk out with Lola, something that she loves doing is we say, I love you more than what? And we always one-up each other. So I'll say something like, I love you more than all the sand on all the beaches on the whole planet. And then she'll say something like, I love you more than every drop of water and every lake and ocean on the whole universe. And then we just kind of like go back and forth to see like who can come up with the most ridiculous thing. I love you more than every brain cell on every person and every galaxy and the entire intergalactic, whatever it is. And then I say goodnight. And I always make sure I say, I will see you in the morning. Because again, like I want... Kids are, this world's so crazy and anxious, and they know we're going to be there, but just something to go to sleep knowing that, you know what, tomorrow things are going to be good too. Miles, he's next to Lola. I go into his bedroom. We talk Dodgers. We talk Dodgers. We talk about players on the team. My son's 7. He can name every single player. If you ask him how much money Clayton Kershaw makes per pitch, he will tell you just over $30,000 based on his contract and his pitch count from 2019. It is so fun to have one boy. It'd be fun to have seven, but to have one boy who I can just totally have so much fun with. Go in the backyard, play catch. We can do role play while we're playing catch, right? Ground ball to Turner at third. Oh, he's rolling it to second for a double play. Kike at second. Flips it over down to Muncy on first. If Muncy's playing first, he plays wherever. Sometimes Bellinger's at first, right? But that is so, so much fun for us to do. So we talk Dodgers. We talk about playoffs. We talk about stuff like that. And then he loves, and this is what my wife does with him every night for years. It's usually the same song. Can you guess what a 6-7-year-old boy wants sung to him every night before bed? My wife's been doing this for like 3 years. Three Little Birds by Bob Marley is his go-to favorite song ever. And the way we do it, my wife tweaked it where it's not Three Little Birds anymore. It's Four Little Birds because there's four kids in our family. And it's the cutest thing ever. You'll hear my wife and them sing it. And Miles always sings out loud no matter how tired he is. He has fallen asleep sometimes, eyes closed, singing the song. So if you don't know that song, you know that song, right? Woke up this morning, right? So they always, and the funny and the cutest thing ever is that he will do the echo every single time. So my wife will go, woke up this morning, and he'll go, woke up this morning, smiled at the rising sun, and then he'll do the echo. And then they go, four little kids or four little birds in their PJs, and it's the cutest thing ever. It has been such a fun little ritual that he will remember for his entire life. And I'm honest, being 100% honest here, I think my wife's been doing this with him for like probably more than two years straight. I love the nighttime rituals. Why are we in such a rush to throw our kids to bed so we can go have more me time? Why is there such an obsession with me time with us in this generation today? I need more me time. I need alone time. Yes, you do. But like, we got to get more obsessed with spending that time with our kids. Emotional availability is the nutrient of how kids develop. And too many kids are being malnourished. So think about what are some things you can do. Go home, put aside, go connect, right? Go be friends with your kids. They need, yes, you to be a parent first. But so many of your kids, they just want time and attention. They just want to feel important. And it's not hard to do that. Some nights, I go lay down and my wife's like, you got to go see the kids. Hey, go say goodnight to the kids. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. I just want to go to bed. And then my brain says, you idiot. And I'm like, yeah, what am I talking about? This is the best part of my day. Go downstairs, hit every four kid, do the rituals. And I'll tell you what. Talk about payoff. Talk about dividend. When your daughter, after you pick her up from school and she's seventh grade and she runs up and jumps in your arms still like she's a third grader or a kindergartner getting picked up from half day school. And she's in seventh grade in front of some of her friends. Talk about payoff. When your ninth grade daughter, instead of just sitting on her phone all day and hating your guts because, you know, social media took over her life and she spent too much of her time trying to get validation from strangers. Because why? These kids, they want attention. They crave connection. They crave time. And that's all they want. And then we gave them instead a phone, or instead we gave them TikTok when they just really just want our time. So to be able to have my ninth grade daughter, like, not want to leave the bedroom with my wife and I, sitting on the couch talking about life, quoting lines from The Office, whatever. Talk about payoff. We got to get back to the way it is, where we're spending time with the people who really matter. I'm not dissing the people who go out there and ride their bike 4 hours on Saturday. If that's your thing, awesome. You got to go do your hike so you can go back to work and go slay dragons. Fantastic. You got to go throw your kids in front of a TV so you can sit down and not pull your hair out because being a mom is super tough. I absolutely get it. But let's go focus on getting more obsessed with our kids and spend time with them. I got 4 years left with my oldest till she's gone. Miles is seven and a half. Dude, this is going to fly by so fast. And so many of us didn't have that kind of relationship with our parents where they were doing these kind of things with us. And so a lot of parents, it's hard. I don't even know how. Some parents are like, I don't even know how to do this with my kids. I don't know how to sit down and play with them like this. I don't know how to do imaginary stuff or play pretend. One of my tips for dads who are like trying to figure out how to really connect with their little kids on their level. You want to know one of the easiest ways to connect with your little 5-year-old daughter or your 7-year-old daughter or your 10-year-old daughter when you don't really feel like you are connecting? Take off your shoes and let her paint your toenails. It always works. It's always a fun thing. It's always a fun way to connect. My toenails right now are still painted neon green from like over a month and a half ago. Go let your kids paint your toenails. Let your daughter braid your hair, right? Anything like that. Such an easy way to connect with your kids. Now, one other thing I want to say is that one of the best tips of advice is to go and once a month. At the most, it doesn't have to be more than that. Once a month, once a quarter, even, take each one of your kids and do something just you and them that just you and them want to do. Now, it doesn't have to even spend any money at all. It could be we go to this park and we go play frisbee. It could be like, oh, we go out in the backyard and we do double dutch, and I suck at that, but my daughters teach me how to do that, right? It could be we go to that little taco stand and we just hang out on the grass and eat a taco for $1.50 on Tuesday and just talk or like laugh at cars driving by. One thing that Meg Meeker said, which will be on our podcast when I've already interviewed her, Dr. Meg Meeker, she said, you know what, if you do that like even once a quarter, once every couple months, and you do that, but you do that consistently with your kids, they will grow up and become adults. And in their mind, they'll think that you did that with them every single week, even if you only did it once every 2 or 3 months or once a month, which I think is an awesome way to help manipulate the memories, right? So spend some more time with your kids. If you can tell, because you hear cars driving by, I'm sitting on the freeway just off the side of the road finishing this up. The church I'm speaking at is off to my left. I got a couple hours here. I'm going to go check into my hotel. I'm so excited to do these parent nights and these family nights. They are so much fun. People love them. It's usually, I mean, if it's not COVID, it's usually standing room only. I have done these speeches before in cities in Colorado, in Nevada, in Utah, where every single seat in the auditorium is taken. And then people are sitting on the stairs in between the aisles. And then people are sitting in the orchestra pit. And then people are actually, one speech I did in Colorado, everyone was sitting out there in the orchestra pit, on the sides, in the hallways, out the door, around the hallway. And then I had people sitting on the stage next to me, literally on the stage and off stage, looking up at the slides. I'm not saying that at all to brag or say what I'm doing is amazing. It's because the message is so, so important. And it's something that's affecting so many families. And if I have a way to be able to share this message in a way that people get and they connect with and they feel good about, and then they can go home and it can change a little bit of their family or their kid or their connection or their relationship, I'm not going to stop doing this. My wife asked me a while ago, she's like, when I was beating myself up because I was on the road so much and I was going crazy here, just like speaking 80, 70 times a month. And she's like, how long can you keep this up? And I'm like, babe, how much Diet Dr. Pepper is there in the world? I mean, seriously, right? And here comes an awkward sip sponsored by Diet Dr. Pepper. I'm going to keep doing this until things change. And so if you're listening to this and if you're a new follower, you don't really know how it was before COVID, I come out to a community. We help you get people there. We help you promote it if needs be. Share it on my Instagram or Facebook pages, things like that. Go do some assemblies. I mean, really, we just need to get to one school assembly, and then come talk to you, the parent night at the school or at a church. I've done these in the backyards. I've done these all over the place. I've done these in D1 college or basketball arenas where we had 5,500 parents show up. I've done them in backyards where there was only 20, 30 people there. The message is just too important. And so if you want to bring this information out, if you want to get this message out to your community, just send an email to my amazing assistant, Michelle. It's just, hey, Michelle at savethekids.us. I need to go find my hotel.